Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX and the free Odyssey app.
It's hour two of the show. We got Scott Jagow from the
our favorite guy
KMOX newsroom.
I'm here.
The most interesting man in the newsroom.
Okay. There's something interesting about him.
I got a little bit of interesting in me.
You bought a Gap clothes with Steve Carell, and you bought an Eddie Bauer shirt with Eric Clapton.
Those are two short stories of my life that lasted about a minute each.
Well, you weren't out shopping with them, were you?
No. Okay. I just happened to run into them, both randomly in different cities, years apart at the sweater counter of each of those places. It's those are true stories. I don't understand why that happened, but it did. One was Eric Clapton, mm-hmm. sweater counter at Eddie Bauer.
Did he say something racist?
Oh, come on.
No.
Okay.
And then the other one was Steve Carell. In L.A., Gap.
Did he say something racist?
No, he didn't say anything. Okay. No, why are we talking about racist?
You know about Eric Clapton?
I think he went off the rails.
He's always been a little bit off.
Yeah.
And then more serious.
Anyway, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, but he's got a lifetime of stories, this guy.
I got a few. This week, I went
How
to see...
How many regrets do you have?
Okay. Oh, gosh, we're not doing that. This week, I went to a movie that I guess now I realize that you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Friendship.
Yeah, great.
It's really brilliant. I can't rave enough about it. It's one of the funniest films I've seen in a long time, while also being suspenseful the whole time. It is a very interesting mix of genres. Tim Robinson is the star of it. He, came up through SNL. He is one of the funniest people I have ever seen in my life.
He's very funny.
And
you can tell some of the sketches he wrote on SNL. Like you get the tone if you've seen I Think You Should Leave or The Detroiters.
Those are his, yeah.
He has one episode of The Characters, which is a show on Netflix. Also very funny. His episode of The Characters is very him, and you can sort of tell.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think and Amy loves this one, the John Tesh writing the NBA on NBC theme song.
Basketball,
that one.
Give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
That one. And you can tell that's a Tim Robinson. Like, that's just his humor. And he has the humor in this movie. It's just the tone of it is so different.
I know.
Is it?
It feels like a thriller.
It does.
Like, you're not quite sure if it's supposed to be funny.
You don't know what's gonna happen.
Yes.
It builds up through this... these slow, suspenseful musical themes, but while also just him being hysterical.
Yeah,
and Paul Rudd's
funny.
Good in it, too. He kind of plays a little bit of his Anchorman character. Not the Anchorman, was he the sports?
The weatherman.
He was the weather guy.
Yeah.
No, that was Brick.
What? No.
He was the reporter.
Oh,
yeah,
he was the reporter.
But he plays
a little
bit of that character in this movie. I kind of picked up on the, 50% of the time, 60% of the time it works every time.
And
he, yeah.
So is that Do you know, is it advertised as a comedy thriller?
No, it's just, it is advertised as a comedy.
Okay.
But the, you know, the musical score in it,
the feeling,
there's this tension the whole time.
Like the trailer really is not funny. The trailer really? Is not funny.
It's so different.
Does it feel,
when my girlfriend looked at the trailer, I said, we should go see Friendship. I just had read a little bit about it and thought, wow, that sounds like a fun movie or interesting. And then she looked at the trailer. She goes, is it a horror film?
Here's what I can imagine happening for a lot of people. Going to see it and leaving thinking, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Like, what was that? And I guess... my guess is most Tim Robinson fans will think it's really good, and a lot of other people won't get it or won't think it's funny.
Yeah, maybe.
And then maybe years down the road when it's revisited, it's one of those that like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
It could be one of those kind of films.
I'm going to go see it again. I liked it that much.
Wow. So
I usually don't do that, but I know maybe the second time I'll see some stuff I didn't the first time.
Right.
But it was that good. It was good enough, and I don't usually rave about movies this much. But I thought it was brilliant.
Are you worried that, let's say you were to take Christopher Ranji, go, oh man, Ranji, you're going to love this. And then you're sitting there and watching it and you become very aware of all the not funny parts. I've done that. Where you build something up in your head, you build it up to a friend, and then you watch the show or the movie with them and suddenly it feels less funny or there's a lot more downtime than you remembered. Do you have that?
I would have.
Sure.
Well, it's more of the person isn't laughing the way I thought they would.
Yeah.
And then you're aware of, oh, God.
Which is why I would go see it by myself the second time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about that because that's something I saw this week. I also met up with Nene Harris, the author of a new book called St. Louis Parks. It's beautiful. It goes through, do you know how many parks we have in the city? In the city, 61 square miles, just the city.
I'm recusing myself because I heard it. I listened. Okay. So it's just
Have you any idea?
40.
100. There are 100 city parks. That's incredible.
Just the city, not
just
the county.
Just the city, yeah. And they have a fascinating history dating back, of course, to the 1800s and Henry Shaw. But there are lots of other people along the way that helped parks become what they are. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis... quite frankly, could be the best park city in America. I don't think that's an understatement at all.
It's got two really big parks right in the middle of it.
I mean, Forest Park is
spectacular,
on par with any in America.
Yeah, it is.
And I also learned through Nene that there were on the day of the tornado, there were 47,000 trees in Forest Park. 47,000. Now, obviously, we lost quite a few. But her point was people from other cities will come here still, even after the tornado, and we'll look at that area and think it's barren, and they'll be like, good Lord, you have
amazing.
A lot of trees.
Yeah. When it's noticeable is if you are on the northwest corner of the park and then you drive east toward Lindell, like a lot of that is...
Yeah. Skinker and Lindell, you notice because that's the perimeter of the park. It's where so many people enter the park and go running, and it's all of those old growth trees.
Yeah, if you drive down Lindell from Washington, from Wash U, you're driving east from there. Mm-hmm. It used to feel like trees covered the top of the road. Now it doesn't.
And they took down a few more this morning.
Right.
Because I guess they took down the most dangerous ones, the ones that had fallen, and they had to take down a few more. So it was even a bit more bare this morning.
So this was my roaming St. Louis for this week. I kind of turned it into a special edition just... in general about the parks in this city because of this book. So we met at Lafayette Park and it was raining. And so we decided to find a pavilion and we actually sat down on like a little blanket in the pavilion to do the interview. And she is just a fascinating person to talk to. She's just delightful. She has so much knowledge about the city. But the funny thing was that to start this conversation, she walked out of the coffee shop and knew it was me. She's a big listener of KMOX. And the show, she's listened to us here talk about certain things. So she says, I've been to the Shamrock Pub when there's a Bills game.
Oh,
I was
like,
what?
Because of you?
No, her husband is a Cleveland Browns fan.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, we're all kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
Over time, having a lot of losing seasons. We kind of maybe understand each other, Browns, Bears,
the Browns,
Bills.
The Browns don't even know what a Super Bowl looks like.
That's true.
Your team's at least been to one.
Yep. Lost all four of them.
I mean, you keep losing them, but you've been there.
But it was so funny. She said, yeah, we showed up because we heard you talking about being a Bills fan and that you went to the Shamrock Pub.
Yeah, they went because
of
you.
They were actually there, I think, when you were there.
Oh.
So anyway, it was just kind of a funny thing that they're talking about. That she started the conversation about football and being a Bills fan.
Can we talk about something? What is it with the Labatt? Is that a big thing in Buffalo?
Labatt?
Yeah, it's a Canadian beer and it's popular.
So
that's
because it's close to Canada.
Yeah.
Huh? All right, because that's what everybody's drinking at this Shamrock is Labatt.
Labatt, yeah.
It's so crazy, though. It makes sense in Buffalo, close to Canada, that, you know, Canadian beer. But that they, to keep up the ambiance of Buffalo, mm-hmm. they're serving a lot of Labatt at this beer.
They are. We are. And actually, a few years ago when we were at a different location, the distributor came down from wherever he was to congratulate us on the amount of beer that we had drank.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
Good for you
because
guys.
Because he thought it would be much less than it actually turned out to be.
He doesn't know. He doesn't
We're very
know you
proud
guys.
Of that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm proud for you guys. You have a breakaway card table that everybody jumps on. And at halftime, if you haven't experienced this, these weirdos, these Buffalo Bills fans, they have a folding table, which is meant to break in half. So they do the ceremonial table break and they jump on it and break it, then they reassemble it.
We rarely
the next
do
guy
this.
Comes up.
This happened like one time.
I was there for
you,
it.
You just happened to be there for that one.
A kid did it. Like some 10-year-old was there and he jumped on it.
How yeah. much Labatt had he had?
Dude.
None. He drinks Coke, but or Dr. Pepper.
Allegedly.
Uh-huh.
I do
he's
like
actually the more original like 14. Coke he just, with the actual cocaine.
He's actually
in
like
it.
14, but he looks like he's 10.
What is his name? Little
We call
little,
him Junior Boomer.
Junior Boomer.
Boomer. Is his dad Boomer?
No.
Then there's a guy named Buffalo Steve.
Buffalo's
oh.
Steve. Yeah. He is guiding Junior Boomer into the dark side of being a fan of the Bills.
Well.
So Junior Boomer likes to scream at the TV. And Buffalo Steve encourages him to talk about injuring other players, and we're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Is there a non-dark side to being a Bills fan?
I haven't found it yet.
He's holding out hope.
I am still hopeful.
You should be roaming St. Louis for the non-dark side of being a Bills fan.
Well, let me just tell you that after Hard Knocks this year, it's going to go straight to the toilet.
I don't think so.
It is.
It could be worse.
It's going to ruin your season.
No, it's not. It's not.
It
the only thing that will ruin
season.
Our season is if Josh Allen, I'm not even going to say
it. Oh, don't say it.
I'm not even going to say it
don't
out in the world.
Don't say it.
By the way, he just got married on Saturday.
If she leaves him for somebody else, it'll ruin the season.
Not always.
If Haley Steinfeld.
Sometimes you like, you channel
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they just got married. You should have seen the suit he was wearing for his wedding. Buffalo Bills logos. All over
really?
It.
Hold on. For real? On.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, we're going to find this. While he's Googling, any thoughts on Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers?
No.
Funeral dirge for the Steelers?
Yeah, I think it's moot. I don't think it matters if he's the quarterback. I mean, I think he's done. I think he's shot. The Steelers are always pretty good because their coach is good.
I love Mike Tomlin.
But,
I love him.
Yeah,
he's
great
run
at press conferences.
I feel like, but I would run through a wall for him.
Yeah, probably.
So I'm looking for the suit. I don't see any Buffalo Bills logos. I see him in a tux, and I also see that Larry David was there.
Oh, was he?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, maybe it was a Photoshop thing. I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, he
you
looks
can never
nice.
Tell
she
these
looks
days.
Nice.
You know what? He might have changed for
he might
the
have changed.
Reception.
Maybe
yeah, he
that's
probably
what it was.
It probably was just a photo.
But Larry
he took.
David went to the wedding.
How about that?
That's saying something because that guy tries not to go to things
anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I love that about him. That he just doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to go to... He likes to tell people no. I think that's great. So, also, this weekend, big horsies.
Yeah, Belmont Stakes. This is actually a good Belmont because, yes, we don't have a Triple Crown winner because Sovereignty decided... well, he didn't decide, but his owners...
He decide. Walked into the trainer and said, guys,
I'm
out.
I can't, I'm not running that Preakness.
I can't go for the Preakness.
I'm not going to Baltimore. Sorry.
I'm not good. I'm down for this one. What do you mean you're down?
I talked to the wife. She said, no way. She said, no
well,
way.
What is this with the horse? Like, these are the only three events anybody cares about in horse racing. And this guy decides he's not going to do one of them?
Yeah, well, yeah, these days, we talked about this, animal welfare and all that stuff, protecting the horse, I think they need to change the distance between the races so that it's like a month each instead of 2 weeks after the Derby.
Did
but anyway, the other horse did it. Journalism.
Yeah.
Journalism is a gamer.
He's running in all three, and it is...
like a pro would.
So it's the Derby winner versus the Preakness winner.
Oh, okay. And the rubber match.
And the third place finisher in the Derby is in it, Baeza. So this is actually going to be a really good race, but it's at Saratoga.
Yeah.
One more year because they're doing renovations at Belmont Park. And I heard this stat, which I found was interesting. The last eight times that a Derby winner has faced the Preakness winner.
Okay.
The Preakness winner has beaten them 7 out of 8 times.
Really?
That's surprising to me.
Are they sharper?
I haven't really gone through all the examples, but the point is everybody thinks Sovereignty has the advantage because he's been off for 5 weeks.
That's too long.
Maybe Journalism is just having his preparations during the races.
This is probably completely wrong, but I will say, as a fellow runner with Sovereignty,
with Sovereignty
and Journalism, I will say when you hit your peak fitness, you've got a couple weeks. And once you take off, it's like, because you train in these cycles of weeks and months, once you take off, your body kind of goes down. It kind of thinks that it's done. What if that's it?
It could be. Journalism has the advantage in this race because he's a stalker. So he'll be closer to the front of the pack, and that's an advantage. Sovereignty will be coming from behind, which is, difficult to do if they don't go really fast at the beginning of the race. But to your point, it made me think of Secretariat, the greatest horse of all time. His Derby was not that great. He barely won the Derby. The Preakness, he was kind of getting to be a freak, but it was the Belmont, his third race in 5 weeks, where he just went off and ran the best race that's ever been run and will never be equal.
When
he won by 31 lengths.
Oh, it was 31.
I know that picture. I think always thought that was the Derby.
No, that's the Belmont Stakes.
That was the Triple Crown win.
His jockey looks behind him to see where everybody is, and there's nobody in the picture.
He could have gotten off and walked them across the line.
All right, then it wouldn't have won.
Where's the best horsey bar in St. Louis? Where are you going to watch it?
He's not going to give that up.
I know where I'm going to watch it.
You're not going to tell us?
I can tell you. It's the TikTok Tavern.
Oh, the TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've talked about the TikTok.
Yeah, the TikTok. That's awesome. We're having a little Belmont Stakes.
Nice.
Shindig.
Well, enjoy it.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's the one with all the watches?
Scott Jagout.
Yeah. Okay, I do know it.
Owls and Clocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great little community pub.
Three Good Things, Roaming St. Louis, Chat with Stumac all Sunday.
Yep, Chat with Stumac. He's giving advice for honeymooners.
Okay.
Whoa.
It's pretty funny. Oh, my gosh. No, real quick. It's a hilarious story about him having just married on his truck when they got married, and he forgot to take it off. He didn't take it off for 2 years. So,
how do you forget
that? He tells
us
a story. He got him out of a speeding ticket. It got him out of some other stuff. He left just married on his car for 2 years until his wife said, "Get that off."
Put up just divorced.
Exactly.
That'll get you a lot of tickets. Scott, Sunday morning.
All right. Sunday morning. Tune in.
KMOX. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. Hello. Welcome. If you're just now tuning in, where you been? Somebody the other day texted in and said, I missed the first hour now because you start an hour early. We'll wake up earlier.
Yeah. What's the problem? We don't know if he's sleeping.
He probably is.
What if he's working?
Get up and do something nice, Amy, right? Because next week, what are we doing next week? We're kicking off something very big.
Really, really throwing this on me right now. We are partnering with Jerry Kelly.
Yep.
To, as you know, it's the 100th anniversary of KMOX, and we're doing 100 acts of kindness
for the rest of the year.
For the next year. Jerry Kelly, the Chris and Amy show, hand in hand, skipping down the street, 100 acts of kindness.
And we are going to kick things off on Tuesday of next week. We will be broadcasting live our show from 9 until noon at the Urban League on Kings Highway. So that's a place where people have been dropping off goods, you know, that can be helped in North, or that can help out in North St. Mm-hmm. Louis because of the tornado. And they still need a lot of help, and they will for many, many months and maybe even years in some cases. So we're just going to start things off there. And so we're asking you if you want to stop by. We would love for you to do that. Bring by any items that that could be of use. Of course, they've always been asking for bottled water, for volunteers, and for residents, and all kinds of things. But we are going to be there starting at 9 and until noon. We'll be doing our show live at the Urban League on King's Highway for Jerry Kelly's 100 Acts of Kindness. We're going to kick things off Tuesday.
And it's a great way to kick things off. And I think the big thing, too, that we just kind of want to remind everyone is, like, an act of kindness doesn't have to be like the big grand gesture.
No, it doesn't have to be like a $1,000 donation to something. It doesn't have to be that.
Literally,
it can.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could be helping your neighbor take out the trash, opening a door for someone, saying thank you, complimenting someone.
Yeah, give somebody a nice compliment,
a stranger.
We
were going to call it Jerry Kelly's Don't Be a Jerk campaign.
They didn't like that idea.
I don't think they liked it.
I liked it.
But 100 Acts of Kindness is pretty cool, and we're excited about it, and we're excited that it's going to continue all year.
Yeah, so I think the thinking is just in your own daily life, you know, you can do small things here and there. You can do big, grand gestures. That's great, too, and that those help people, but just be kind.
It's kind of fun. Actually, you could probably, if you have any acts of kindness, something that you did or meant a lot to you or you think is a good one, you can always text us. Join the fun.
Yeah.
I think on a
and
hot...
And you could tweet at us too, Amy. At us with the hashtag 100KindX.
And I think this is kind of fun. Wouldn't it be fun to, like on a warm day, hand out popsicles at like Forest Park?
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I would love to hand out popsicles.
And they're wrapped. So I think we're kosher. I think we're good. I think you can't hand out like free... Like
unwrapped
food.
Oh, there's a thing about food.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
right. You
have to
be really careful with food, but I think if the popsicles are individually wrapped, we might be okay.
Yeah. Maybe.
Or maybe we just do it under the table.
Well, don't tell everybody. If you see us walking around with a cooler and popsicles, don't tell anybody. Don't tell the park ranger.
No.
So they don't shut us down.
I don't shut down.
Yeah, Jerry Kelly's 100 Acts of Kindness starts next week. Amy and I from 9 until noon at the Urban League to kick things off. Urban League on King's Highway. When we come back, we will talk to Dale Schilly, who is the analyst on Y98 for City SC, also the Academy Director. We got a game this weekend. We'll talk to Dale next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Kick. They'll stop it there. David Critchley hugged by Joao Klaus, Aiden Reynolds, and the entire staff. Your final. St. Louis City 2, San Jose 1. We're back, baby.
Took a while, but City SC did finally get a win. It was a couple of months, wasn't it? And after beating San Jose in an exciting manner, they got that go-ahead late. They will take on the Portland Timbers on Sunday at 6 o'clock to discuss that with us. We have got one of the radio voices on Y98. Also, City SC Academy Director Dale Schilly joins the show. What's up, Dale? You must be feeling great still.
Oh, finally we got to hear a different intro.
Yeah.
And a little enthusiasm from Joey.
Well, he never really even lacks that, even when you're losing.
That's true.
But no one's more despondent than Joey when they lose.
Right, but there are moments.
Yeah.
There are moments throughout the game.
There are moments in every game where Joey's a little over the top. But yeah, that's why we love him.
They've got passion.
Let me ask you this, Dale. Do you ever get used to it?
Oh, my goodness. No, there's surprises at every turn. You know, whether it's some of the words that he uses, like the center circle calling it a cereal bowl, or the half line is the equator, or a ball that's kicked in the air is parabola. I can't even say it the right way. Every game there's something new that, you know, that I learned.
Why is it the cereal bowl?
Chris, are you asking me to ask them?
Yeah, yes. I want you to. I mean, you don't ever get a break like at half. Go, what was that? What was this? Write down every time he says something you don't understand. Write it down so that at the half you can ask him about it.
All right. Well, next week I'll come in with a new vocabulary for us, a vocabulary list for us.
You could.
Soccer vocabulary.
Or you could make it like a segment during halftime where they're like, no, it's, what does that mean?
With Joey Zanaboni.
You know what?
What?
It would be like when you were a kid when you did the matching game where you had to flip cards over, but this time it'll be the real soccer term versus Joey's soccer term.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I can't get past Cereal Bowl. I don't think I've noticed that one before.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Hey, Dale, I know we want to ask you, too, more about City, but we, on the Chris and Amy show, we've launched a new question of the week. We do it every Tuesday. It's a question of the week. And I think you would be someone who will have an experienced, knowledgeable answer. So our question of the week is very different every week, but this week it is. Which youth sport has the worst parents?
Oh.
And one sport, I won't give you a hint, but I'll let you know that one sport right now is running away with it.
Yeah. But so it's baseball, basketball, football, and hockey.
No, it's baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey.
Soccer and hockey. Yeah. Sorry, not football.
I'm going to say baseball.
Oh.
And the reason is because the game is slower, mm-hmm. and there's more opportunity for parents to be involved. That would be my guess.
Well, everybody thinks soccer is slow.
What?
Not everybody, but a lot of people think soccer is slow.
I think you're a little slow, right?
I enjoy it. But no, a lot of people think it's slow because there's not enough scoring in it.
Is it slow or boring? Because there's a difference. I think people
Dale, do you? Dale Shilley, soccer genius. Is soccer boring?
No.
It's not. But I
tell Amy why it's not boring.
No, but what I mean is, if people don't get soccer, like, well, it's like what people might think hockey's boring if they don't understand it. But with baseball, the pace of play, like 80% of baseball is not playing. You know, it's like standing there and waiting. And I think to Dale's point, everything's a call. An umpire's making a call. A coach is making a judgment call. So there's a lot to heckle.
Yeah, there's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of dead time, as you said, on the field in between those moments. So that's why I would say baseball, there's an opportunity for parents to be involved.
Go ahead.
Am I close?
Baseball's running away with it. About 50% of people say baseball is the worst. But I also know, you know, I've been at my fair share of CYC games, and parents can really get into it. I imagine in your days coaching soccer, being around youth soccer and youth sports, you've probably seen some players or parents that you've just had to shake your head at.
I've had more than one conversation with parents. And there's a lot of them, and it's interesting because you know, when players are about to shoot the ball, like they get near the goal, and parents will yell inevitably,
shoot it,
and then I'll say to the parent, you know, maybe post game or when I see him at practice, or I'll say, you know, in a baseball game, would you tell your son when to swing? Like it's so instantaneous. There's no, by the time you set it, and you determine whether it was a ball or a strike and it was the right pitch to swing at, you wouldn't impact at all. You'd only confuse your son. So you can't tell him to shoot because it happens so quickly. But yeah, just a common conversation. And, we have a lot of those conversations with young parents, particularly parents that it's their first child playing soccer.
So what you're saying is parents that don't know what they're talking about.
That's exactly right. But I don't want to say that.
You don't know soccer. I know soccer. Do you know who I am? That's what you say to them.
Do you know I am?
All right. So City got that, you know, they got those points. They got those 3 points that they desperately needed. And when the firing of Coach Melberg happened, I forgot who. I think it was Lutz who said it. That there are 57 points out there to be had. So there's 3 of them for the rest of the season. I mean, it's I know we talked about this. Dale's not buying it. No, we talked about it a little last week that you think they need 85, right? You think they need 85 points?
45. Right?
45, I'm sorry. 45 points, and that's, you know, they're kind of a ways off from that. But how doable is it? How doable is it for this team with a new coach?
Yeah, I would say, first off, let's make the point that it was more important than getting 3 points the other day was just to turn some things around and get the guys excited about where they're at and start smiling a little bit in practice and start enjoying their time, because the weeks that we had gone without winning an MLS game was, it was getting extensive and it was grinding on everybody. So, you know, just turning some things around there was first. So how, you know, it's going to be hard. We're 3 points is helpful. I think it puts us at 14 right now with 54 points left. It is a tall order, but you know, if you can start putting together 2 and 3 game runs, then you can start to look at getting yourself above the playoff line and trying to hold on to a position compared to where the other teams are and their table and then their wins and losses. So really going to be difficult, Chris. This is not 1 3-point game is not going to put us over the hump, but we can put a couple of them together. And I can say that the attitude and the demeanor of the players is much different today than it was 10 days ago.
Can you notice in one game a difference in style of play? One game with a new coach?
Yeah, I would say that Critch was, you know, that was one of his things was how do we change the mentality and the approach of the players, and how do we get them to play with a little more energy, confidence, and enthusiasm? And we could absolutely see that. I don't want to say that the quality of the game was any better. You can't say that the players got better over the 2 or 3 days that Critch had them, but he did give them a single purpose. He did pull everybody, get them onto the same page. He did re-energize the players. They did come out and play in a more enthused, energetic, and emotional way. So he accomplished a lot in that first week. He also knows that's not sustainable. You have to be able to out soccer teams and get better from a soccer playing perspective. So that's what he's trying to get done this week. And Portland's going to be a difficult team.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, City plays Portland on Sunday. And what are Portland's strengths?
Yeah. So Portland, first off, playing in Portland is incredible. The fan base, the stadium, it's an old baseball stadium. Actually, I think Kirk Russell played baseball for the the Portland Pilots, like minor league baseball. You see his picture on the wall when we walk into the stadium. You know, just a big crowd, very energetic. The largest supporters group in the country will be supporters in the stadium chanting and singing. The team is super athletic, good at getting forward and getting numbers towards the goal. They're going to be a difficult team to play against. Not methodical, just very athletic, very direct, and a really difficult team to play. They're good.
How have you noticed City fans traveling this year?
Do we notice them traveling?
Yeah, like what the what the numbers have been like.
Yeah, I mean, we had in Colorado was our last game. I think we had 150 people that were on the road in Colorado and Denver. So that's a good supporters group. Portland obviously is a bigger trip, but because of the nostalgia of the stadium and the history of the program and what the atmosphere is like, we could have a good number up there, but I don't know what the numbers are. But we'll have City fans there, and every stadium that we go to on the road, we see City Red. There's not a game that we go to that we don't see at least speckled around the stadium fans from the club. But what they do with the supporters, they put them in one section of the stadium, usually one that's the furthest away from the field, but they do get to sit together and watch the game. And it's, you know, it's really cool to see the City Red uniforms in the away stadium.
Hey, Dale, a non-city question for you, but one of my friends, her sons are all about soccer, and her high schooler wants to be a professional soccer player. He's all about it, wears nothing but Messi jerseys, and I think I asked if he wanted to play in college, and she's like, no, he wants to go straight pro. But I started looking at some of the top college teams. Where does college soccer fit in as far as maybe people that want to make a career out of it, or maybe people who just want a longer time playing?
There is, so college soccer, it helps extend that runway between high school and the pros. So guys that aren't quite ready when they're 16, 17 years old to play at the professional level, college is a great way to extend that runway, give them a couple years, maybe 4 years, 5 years if they do a redshirt year, to continue to grow as a player, grow physically, so that you can compete. So, you know, obviously the local schools, I mean SIU and St. Louis being the two Division I programs, and colleges across the country, some of the major conferences, the Big East, the ACC, there's other obviously strong conferences as well that have really successful programs and successful not only in winning but getting players then placed into the MLS. So it's a good avenue. It's not the only avenue, mm-hmm. but it is an avenue that a lot of players take to get to the MLS.
All right, Dale Schilly on Sunday, 6:00. It is City SC in Portland to take on the Timbers. We expect another win. We expect consecutive wins here.
And you know what? You can expect that, and you can expect a vocabulary list next week.
Yes.
Well, from Joey. You need to start writing down everything that confuses you that Joey says.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Next week, I'm going to come in with a list of 10 words.
Yep.
And you have to tell me what they mean.
There you go. I was just going to say something like that. Like if you don't get to the bottom of what they mean, you can ask us, what do you guys think this means? Or we can do a quiz.
No, I'm going to quiz you.
Yeah, all right.
It's a quiz. It's a competition.
Okay.
Between the two of you.
I love it. All right. Here, that's perfect. So Sunday, 6:00 is the kickoff. It is City SC in Portland. Dale Schilly will be on the call with Joey Zanaboni on Y98. Thanks, Dale.
Thank you.
Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. Did you see this is next.
Chris and Amy Show is video streaming now on KMOX's YouTube, X, and Facebook pages. Click and subscribe. Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Ranj, I was at the Festival of Miles yesterday, which is a series of mile races at St. Louis University. It's sponsored by Hoka, it's sponsored by Big River Running, by Spiwak Running here in St. Louis. And it's really, really cool. All the ticket sales go to help someone, maybe someone who's ill, needs help with medical bills and so forth. But they bring in the best runners, high school runners, up to pro runners in the country. And last night, the American high school girls mile record was broken. It's the all-time under 20 record for the mile. Jane Hendegren ran 4 minutes and 23 seconds for the mile. And runners will know, like Mary Kane, who was like America's darling fast runner, she had 4:24 under 20. But it was really cool to see a national record being broken right here in St. Louis. I think Jane is from Utah. An incredible race. The rest of the field was amazing as well, but she was so fast that she basically had to run it by herself. And for people who may not be familiar with how hard that is, it's a lot harder to push yourself and run when you've got people right next to you and you're racing them. She was by herself. She actually ran faster than the women's pro race, which was next. The women's pro race, the winner ran 4:29.
How old is this person?
She's in high school. I can't remember what year. She's not a freshman, but she is like one of the top runners in the country. But it's pretty cool that you have all of these pros. You have high schoolers from California, Utah, Iowa, Massachusetts, all converging on St. Louis University High for this nationally recognized meet. Pretty cool.
That's very cool. This report, Amy, from the... This is just something for you to be concerned about. Another thing for you to worry about. From the CDC, a 70-year-old Texas woman has died from a rare and deadly brain infection caused by the amoeba... I'm not even going to pronounce it. I can't even do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. It is commonly known as the brain-eating amoeba. The infection is believed to have resulted from her use of unboiled tap water from an RV's water system to rinse her sinuses while she was staying on a campground.
So that kind of thing worries me, but don't use RV water for
Do not use tap water for it. So if you do use one of the neti pots or the irrigation things where you flush out your sinuses, it is okay to do that. And there are doctors who recommend it is okay to do it, but don't use it if one of your nostrils is completely clogged, like you, there's nothing coming out of it, because you can cause other problems.
Mm. Goes up into your head.
Yeah, don't use it if you have an ear infection. I don't know the reason for that. Mm. And also, do not use tap water. Get distilled water or cooled down boiled water. So you can boil it, let it cool, obviously, because you don't put boiling water up your nose. Wait till it cools off, and then you can use it. But do not use tap water.
I've never used a neti pot, because they kind of scare me just because I've read stories like this. But they do sell, it's not a spray. I think it's the same idea as a neti pot, but it's like Arm & Hammer.
It's saline.
Yes.
Yep.
And you hold it down. Yeah, you hold it down and it cleans out. That's as close as I've come, and that's a little weird. But don't use tap water and don't use RV water.
And you can use Afrin, but you can only use it for 3 straight days.
Oh, my gosh. I know someone who's addicted to it.
Yeah.
They used it for 20 years.
Uh-huh. There was a comedian talking about that. I forgot who it was.
Maybe that was the story I'm thinking of. But I do know someone who was addicted to it, because I didn't know it was addicting.
Yep.
Addictive.
3 days in a row and then stop it. But always distilled water. And distilled water is cheap. It's like 99 cents a gallon. So don't use tap water up your nose. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji. When we come back, we will have a conversation with Steve Wills, Director of Regulatory Affairs with Ameren, Missouri. Prices are going up. Electricity prices are going up. We'll find out why and what you can do next on KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.